Cat and Moose podcast. I'm Cat.
And I'm Moose. This is a true life podcast where we explore the quirks of being human.
Hey, Cat.
Hey, Moose.
Happy. I almost said Wednesday, but for listeners, it could be any day that they're listening.
That's true. I know we have a few that definitely listen on Monday.
I have to tell you about something that happened to me, and it was the sweetest thing in the world, but at first it took me for a little bit of a ride.
Uh-oh.
And I don't usually share this kind of stuff, and as I was thinking about what we were going to talk about this week, you know, we each bring our own thing, and this happened this morning, and I just thought it was so cool. So I get a text from, he's a colleague, but also a friend, and we kind of reconnected last week at an event. Anyway, he texts me on the blue and he said, "You're an inspiration. You're the real deal. Honestly, the longer I live, the more I know that to be true of you."
Wow.
And like, you know, it's really nice, but also like my first thought was like, why did you send that? You know what I mean? I mean, like, seriously, if somebody sent you that, wouldn't you be like, what sparked that though?
I would. Yeah, I definitely want to know, like, where'd that come from?
Yeah. So I said, "You're a very kind soul. Where did that come from? What made you say that?" And he said, "You asshole, my eyes are watering as I type this response." And if you know our relationship, you would know that that's a term of endearment. Mm-hmm. And he was with an artist in Kansas City. And he said, "We're at this cool coffee shop. A trans woman took our order. She's all dolled up, cute dress, beautiful earrings, impeccable eye makeup. And I sit back and I watch her move behind the counter. Forgive me if any of this text displays my ignorance, but I see how she moves about the place, doing her best to fit in and make her way." And I'm thinking at any point, he's going to ask me if I'm also a trans woman. I'm like, what does this have to do with me? But I'll keep reading.
I'm still looking for the connect as well.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is getting interesting. And then he says, "She's doing an amazing job trying to fit in. But I notice how there are characteristics that she just can't hide. For lack of a better term, are masculine. My heart melts as I think of how hard her life must be, making her way through this world, trying to be true to herself. The constant uphill climb and oppression that she must face. It makes me want to cry and I want to shelter her. So where do you come in? I know your heart and the stand you have always taken for those marginalized and downtrodden by society. Your voice that you give to women who feel they don't have one. The actions you take that support your convictions. You should be proud that when someone comes across my path, it stops me in my tracks and causes me to think of how Jesus celebrated the least of these, and that these are the ones that will inherit the kingdom. I can't help but associate their fight and struggle in this hell with your voice and heart in standing up for the hungry, the broken, the soon-to-be kings and queens of heaven." I mean, what in the world?
I mean, wow. I wish this person was my friend.
He is your friend. You just don't know who it is. He says, "I don't think I'm alone in my thinking. You have created a legacy and a life that people should measure theirs by. I'm honored to know you and call you my friend. I head back to the counter to get a cup for the road. Jane takes my order again. I look her in the eye as she runs my transaction. 'Those earrings are pretty,' I say. 'Aw, thanks. You're sweet, love.' I smile. Moose, this is Jesus."
Wow. Wow, that is so cool.
What in the heck?
I mean, that is so cool. And our friend is describing you very beautifully. Like, I hope that you can really receive that.
I did receive that. Like, for me, like, it was so detailed and sort of wasn't so much just about me. It gave, you know, because I don't like the spotlight. But it gave a lot of levity to what he just experienced. And the fact that he thought of me, I'm like, bring it freaking on. But the thing that meant the most, and I never share stuff like this because it's so uncomfortable for me. But I wanted to, because this is a moment for me to be like, what he did for me is he saw me. You know, and I think that is what we're all craving. Like, even when you talk about Kat, like, I just want your attention, or I just want you to see what I've done or recognize me in the room. Like, those are all things that we're all looking for. It's not just you. It's not an unhealthy thing. it's what we're here on earth to do, is to find that connection. And so I just want to say thank you to my friend Shimmy for writing that and for sharing that with me. You know Shimmy as well.
I do. And I love him so, so much. He is such, he's an encourager, and he's the kind of encourager that doesn't do it so much that it feels like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when he does offer encouragement, you can tell it's very genuine and very authentic. And he is someone who my experience with him over the years is that he has always celebrated women very strongly.
Oh, my gosh.
And been such a proponent for women in the industry. And gosh, I love that guy so much. I miss his presence in my life more often.
I know. Not to be confused with Jimmy. This is someone else. We're not just like changing the first two letters to keep some anonymity here. We really have a friend named Shimmy. And the funny thing about Shim is that he is a lot like me. I think he's a 6 on the Enneagram. I know he's a 6. But he's a lot like me in that, like, the first thing you get when you meet him is humor.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very in the gutter humor.
Yes.
Which is my favorite.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we outdo each other on a level when we're together that it should be X-rated. You know, there's no PG on that one.
I don't think there's a should in there.
Exactly. It is X-rated. But the thing is with him is, like, he has this giant heart underneath it all that he tries to protect, you know. And I want to say I see you too, Shimmy. And I love you.
I love that. Thank you so much, Shimmy, for encouraging Moose the way that you did. Thank you for your encouraging heart. And gosh, I love and miss you. And if you're listening, man, thanks. It means a lot. So if you want to talk about the gutter, I have something to say. Shocker.
Is there an update on the woman who swam around in the gutter for 3 weeks?
I haven't heard anything about that. And I was in the car with my mom the other day, and my mom made reference to something. We were talking about something that's kind of ridiculous. And she goes, well, the next thing we know it, Moose will be saying that you and I are going and doing that. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And she goes, well, apparently Moose thinks that you and I just go and do crazy stuff all the time, like swim around in sewers. And I said, well, Mom, let's be honest. And she said, yeah, let's be honest. We do a lot of crazy stuff together.
I mean, if there is someone that you're going to choose, your first choice is always going to be your mom to go. And you'll invite your sister as well. And then I'll get the invite somewhere down the way. But yes, you guys, and not so much crazy things. Well, yeah, they're crazy. I mean, the fact that you drive from Alabama to Destin when you just have a few extra hours.
Uh-huh.
You guys at least used to just out of the blue be like, we're going to Real Foot Lake, you know, this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually do believe that, Fran.
Well,
I do.
It's because it's true. And I remember when I was a lot younger, if we would be on a road trip or something like that and we would see a tour bus, my mom, like if the tour bus was coming down the interstate the opposite direction of us, my mom would like drive over the median of the interstate to go follow the tour bus until it stopped so we could see who was in it and so that I could talk to the people in the tour bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, like in my career now, I'm like, you know, like most of the stars are actually not in the bus. It's their crew. It's their support team. It's the band and all of that. And it just is so funny because I sometimes wonder, like, who did we hope that like Bono was going to step out of the bus? Like, I don't know, but I love that my mom has always had that, that kind of wild streak and that, what's it called? Not impromptu.
Spontaneous.
Yes. My mom's got a very spontaneous spirit and I love that about her. Love you, Mom.
She sure does.
So going back to the gutters and the sewer, are you familiar with the perineum?
Hello, listeners. The word is actually pronounced perineum. Cat and Moose are going to say it wrong for the remainder of this episode. Please enjoy.
I'm familiar with perennials, but not the perineum.
Perineum.
Well, let me tell you that you probably don't want to have perennials in your perineum. I can tell you that.
Oh, we're in the gutter. The perineum is the area. I love when I get to guess the answers. The perineum is the area between the anus and whatever you have in the downtown front area.
You are exactly right. That is the premium. Yes.
Sarah, please put lots of ding, ding, dings in there because I'm going to make this face on Zoom. Oh, wait, it won't be on Zoom. That's just weird. Really? So it's the wow, we are an educational map to medicine.
Yes. And so speaking of the perineum, I got this book recently that I was inspired to get because of my studies. And it has these flashcards that come along with it. And the flashcards, talk about the different acupressure points all over the body. And I came across this one card totally by accident that I looked at and I was like, whoa. And it was saying that the first point on what is called the conception vessel or the conception channel in when you're talking about like kind of Chinese medicine and stuff is this point that is right in the middle of the perineum, and that point can be held and it can, you know, do things from an acupressure standpoint.
Wow. I know you haven't chosen your modality yet, but I think we've really landed on it.
Specializing in perineum massage.
I mean, wow. Like, that is a whole different level. You know, we talk about opening a Therawana business where you do massage, I do life coaching, and Sarah does some other form of massage or stretching. But I really think that could be a thing. We could put on, like, picture it in like a storefront, you know, like an outdoor mall, and we have glass and it says perineal massage.
It would be perineal massage. I'll just leave you with a bouquet of flowers down there. How's that?
Okay, so when this small yet important area in the downtown is pressed or massaged, what happens?
Well, I'm doing that right now. And
oh,
so
my gosh. Oh, I did not know this is what this podcast was going to be about.
You know what? Neither did I, except I thought this may come up. So I have been doing some deep dive studying on the book Eastern Body, Western Mind that I've referenced before. And my therapist recommended it to me probably on the first or second time I ever visited with her. And I've been going through the book again now that I have a little bit more of an understanding of why the chakras are important, why, you know, body mind therapy is important and stuff like that. And a lot of things are really becoming illuminated for me. And the book hasn't said anything about the perineum. So that's not exactly what I'm studying. What I learned, though, is that I think that I have a pretty massive imbalance in my root chakra. And the root chakra is like the foundational chakra. It's like the thing that is like your roots to the earth. And I have a lot more to say about it that I can say at a later time. And it made me go to my very expensive rock collection and go, which one of my rocks did that lady tell me was for my root chakra? And one of the crystals that is associated with the root chakra is called star garnet. And so the one that I have is a sphere that's about two inches in diameter. And
oh gosh, I could tell where this is going.
The placement where the root chakra is located energetically in the body is just above that conception vessel point number one that exists, you know, like just inside of the perineum. And so if you imagine that, that's kind of where the root chakra energetically is. I thought, well, I'm just going to sit on my star garnet. So for the past 2 days, I've been sitting on my star garnet and I've been letting it press into my perineum in hopes that it'll help heal my root chakra.
Oh my gosh. You're sitting on a crystal right now?
I am. Do you want to see it?
Sure.
Hang on. I gotta get it. Oh.
Why don't you just... Oh, that thing is huge! That is bigger than 2 inches diameter.
It's
this
really...
is the size of like... A baseball, smaller than a baseball.
Yeah. It's bigger than a golf ball, smaller than a baseball.
It's like a billiard ball.
It is like a billiard ball. It's still not quite that big. It might look a lot bigger on the screen. So anyway, so I've been sitting on my star garnet in hopes that it'll help balance my root chakra. And I have to be honest, I don't really know how that's going yet.
Okay.
Let me put it back.
Oh!
Ugh.
She's putting it back. Wait, how does it feel? You like the
it
way
made
I
me
asked
think
that?
Of that. It made me think of that story, The Princess and the Pea.
Yeah, except you know, that's a pea and that's a baseball. I mean, I got to be honest, like how do you have a lot of cushion underneath you? Like, is it does it feel pleasurable or just like you're sitting on a billiard ball?
It feels like I'm sitting on a billiard ball. And it's not pleasurable. It's also not super uncomfortable. Like, it's just kind of like, well, I'm sitting on a ball, and it's not like it's not near. Well, I mean, I guess it technically is near orifices, but like,
well, yeah, it is near orifices. It's in between two of them.
Right. I know. But I guess what I'm saying is like I have clothes on, like I'm just like sitting on it. Like I
well, would... you know what? You'll have to become a patron to find out if she has clothes on. So
great job suggesting that. Great patron promo.
That's fantastic. So I thought as I was doing this over the past couple of days, it made me think, okay, haven't really had a Professor Cat moment on the podcast in a little bit. So I thought that I would educate myself and you and producer Sarah and our listeners with just a broad strokes overview of the root chakra and what it's all about.
Oh, good. I just Googled some things, too, in case you saw me not paying attention. That's what I was doing.
Oh, that's awesome. Tell me what you learned so far.
No. Teach what you were going to teach. This is just some random website.
Okay. Well, so we have seven chakras. The root chakra is the chakra we've already talked ad nauseum about where it's located. It is typically characterized by kind of being like the root of all things. It's the center of our emotional and spiritual balance. It really governs the senses of stability, safety, strength, commitment, and it's responsible for self-preservation and being grounded. It's represented visibly by the lotus with four red petals. It's represented by the color red. It has to do with the earth element. And if it were to have its own mantra, the mantra would be, I have.
Oh.
And ways to activate and balance this particular chakra are by saying to oneself things like, I am centered and grounded. I am here and I'm safe. With every breath, I release all anxiety and fear. I'm at home in my body. I have everything I need to create the life I desire. So those are some affirmations that will help balance the root chakra. Some physical things that help balance the root chakra are things like moving and acquainting oneself with the ground. So walking, yoga, you know, those types of exercises that really encourage the body's contact with the ground. And one of the things I read suggested that it might be helpful to visualize red roots going out from the root chakra and into the earth, again, to reinforce, you know, kind of that the principle of grounding. And in Sanskrit, the name of the root chakra is called Muladhara.
Yes, I
and
just read that.
There is a noise that you can make that encourages balancing of the root chakra, and the noise is this.
I can't wait. Like, these are the reasons why we do this podcast. Because I used to play this game with some friends where I would just simply say, I would say a thing and they would have to make the noise, and it was often animals. So I'm really pleased that you're about to share a noise that goes along with the root chakra.
Well, when I read about this noise, the way that it is written is L-A-M, and I was like, oh, lamb. I'm just supposed to go lamb, 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 meh, you know, so like it does sound like an animal. However, right after I read that and decided that's how I'm going to pronounce this word, the author said in parentheses, For absolute clarity, this should sound like L-A-H-H-H-M, not L-A-M-B. So the noise or the sound associated with the root chakra is lam.
Lam. It's like om, but with an L.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
lom.
If you were...
Om.
Lam.
We know you're in your car listening, so do it with us.
Long. And another thing that you can do in your car is you can go to Spotify or wherever you listen to music, and you can look up music associated with the root chakra, and oftentimes it will be music that is in the key of C.
Oh, can you hit the key of C without needing anything?
Boom. I have no idea.
Boom. I just did the same.
Can you repeat after me? Why, yes, I can. So I can imagine producer Sarah in this moment playing like a sound bowl like tone in C, and it probably is in direct opposition to what we just did.
I'm sure it is. The other thing you can do if you're in your car is to grab the anything that is the size of a baseball and stick it under you. And Kat was just drinking while I was sharing that, and I was so hoping it was gonna spew everywhere.
I almost spewed it everywhere.
Okay, this is so interesting, and I'm not even gonna share what I pulled up because that's good information you shared, but I'm so glad that you shared all of that because it's very interesting, and I'm gonna walk around the house and try and find a circular object that looks like a baseball and see if that helps me also be rooted to the ground. I have to tell you, though, because this the sound thing reminds me of my therapy appointment yesterday. And I'm going to share what happened because it was a new modality that I got to learn.
Cool.
And it was more exciting than it sounded. So I get on and I'm with my therapist on Zoom. And I basically say to her, hey, look, I'm at a crossroads, if you will. And, you know, I basically asked her for this problem that I've been trying to solve. And it's not like a super like tangible problem, but it does have like practical steps that I would need to do to step out of the problem. And so I talked to her about it, and she said, OK, you know, are you open? Have you done breathing with me? And I was saying, yes, I've done breathing. Like, what do you think I'm doing in between my words? And she was like, no, we're going to do a breathing exercise. Now she's like, are you game? I was like, yeah. So basically for 45 minutes, we did three sets, and they were only like 5 minutes each, but we sort of talked in between them. And we did just circle breathing, which is your stomach, your chest, and then out your mouth. But, you know, like, it was interesting because she was like, I need to hear you. And I hate that, man, because, you know, I have all those issues with when I've been to yoga and my friend was like, and then she would look over at me because knowing I was like annoyed, and she would be like, that's how you're supposed to do it. And I'm like, whatever. So I'm like trying to breathe, and I'm like, and, you know, on Zoom, she probably can't hear me. And she's like, so she really was trying to push me to like get in this breathing trance, which is exactly what it kind of became, as I had my eyes closed and, you know, focusing on the breath and all the things. But it was really neat what she did once I started that breathing. She said, do you mind if I play some music? And I'm like, of course not, you know? And so she starts playing this music, and I'm doing the circular breathing. And at first, the music has words to it. So it's like, I think it's an Alicia Keys song. And the whole thing is about like loving yourself, basically. And I start getting like panicked because I can feel like emotions come up from this music. I mean, we work in the music industry,
right?
But the lyrics to this song, and I had actually never heard it before. I'm pretty sure it was Alicia Keys. I need to look it up. But it's probably India RE. I don't know. But I started like feeling like all this kind of emotion come up. And then I was like, oh my God. She's like, so then after the song was over, she's like, is there anything that comes up for you? And I was like, yeah, the word possibility keeps coming up. And she's like, okay, we're going to go into the next song, and I want you to focus on your breath and focus on possibility. So we do the same thing, and the next song is just instrumental. And Kat, it was, you know, I don't know if my heart is opening or what's happening, but it was the coolest experience because over that one had no words. She would just say affirmations.
Mm.
And to have somebody who I respect so much, knows my story from start to finish, take the time, I mean, I'm paying her, but still, take the time to say things that not everyone, it goes back to like being seen, what we talked about before. And she would say things like, this is my one big life.
Mm.
And then the music would play. And then here I am like in this breathing trance. And then a few minutes, you know, a few seconds later, whatever, she would say, I am so worth this.
Hmm.
And then, you know, and I am just like, I'm in such a trance that I feel like she's saying what I need to be saying to myself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all of these amazing things like, am I really going to care what people think when I'm 70?
Mm.
And like, you know, just like all these things that she knows are in my head. Maybe I've said them. Maybe I haven't. But man, oh man. Then she goes into another song. No lyrics. Does the same thing. Comes out of it. And then she finally plays this other song at the end. And the last song, man, it was a song about community and how important it is to have people around you that are supporting like whatever it is you're going through. And so I'll play a little bit of it here.
It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time.
And I just like, I was gone by the end of it. And we had probably 5 or 10 minutes left of the session, and she's like, can you kind of tell me what you experienced? And I was like, we're at the beginning. I felt very like against all of it, you know, because I could feel myself getting vulnerable, and I realized like I could take that 10 minutes anytime I want to refocus. I could take that to go problem solve my life, you know, like just put on piano music and, you know, see what comes up. And, you know, I feel like we have all the answers inside of us. And it was just, it was so special. I felt like it was a turning point for me to feel like there could be some breakthrough in an area of my life. And honestly, like we probably spoke maybe if you put all the time together, maybe 5-6 minutes of the entire time outside of her speaking those things over me. And it just reminded me again, you know, we talked about last episode, or maybe, I don't know, they all run together. But we talked about like, you know, taking what we, the tools we learn in therapy and bringing them forward in our own solo practices. And that was something for me that, you know, I think a lot of what impacted me was her saying those things over me, but it made me think when I first started to run, which was like in 2012, I had friends of mine, and you were one of them, record like in a voice memo and say whatever you wanted to say to me. And I basically told people, I'm creating this playlist, and in between every song, there's going to be a friend that is basically just saying like, you can do this. Don't stop.
Nice.
You know, like just some encouraging things. And I thought we need to ask our friends, even if we just do it for each other, a handful of friends that we have, to do that for ourselves and incorporate that into our practices.
I love that. I love that. And I think it would be really cool for us to encourage our listeners to do the same thing and maybe have our listeners do that for us and even us do that for our listeners.
Hey, look, guys, I will create a playlist with our episodes that has those affirmations in between the episodes from listeners, if you guys are willing to do that, and we can share that playlist.
That would be so cool. And it'll be like the most listened to playlist on Spotify, and it'll be absolutely amazing. And what a beautiful experience, Moose, that you had, and how intentional and thoughtful and deliberate did your therapist have to be to come to that session prepared to do that?
I my guess is, you know, she has these tools in her tool bag, and because like she was like, are you willing to do that? And then she had to go kind of find her headphones. But you're right. She had that playlist ready, and it was intentional that the bookends were songs that would inspire. And then that in the middle Yeah, you're right. It was very special and probably one of the most memorable therapy sessions that I've had as far as like me just getting in my own body.
Mm. That is really, really cool and really, really beautiful. And I think that it's also really, really a bold move of hers, especially knowing that you work in music.
Yeah, right.
Like to bring music into a session when, I mean, I know that she knows you really well. Like I feel like my therapist knows me really well. And also to bring music into a session, not knowing necessarily like my experience with different songs or different, you know, it's like that. I just think that was really bold and gutsy of her. And I've always been very impressed with your therapist. I'm more and more impressed with her every time you share something about her. And it's interesting because I wrote down, the mantras that we were supposed to say to ourselves last week. And ironically, I had yours written down and Sarah's written down, and I didn't write mine down. So I have no idea what mantra I was supposed to be saying to myself all last week. So we can say that I failed that exercise. But yours was, you deserve to be seen.
And look, I'm noticing when I am seen. This is huge.
Huge.
Like super huge. Because I feel less resistance. And hey, I'm on new antidepressants, so maybe all that's working together too. Like Sarah was amazed. There were lots of people at the house recently. She was like, "You did so great. I usually get so overwhelmed." Mm. You know, and she was like, "You just like let everyone be themselves. And you didn't try to manage it." And so it could be Lexapro, and it could also just be that I'm growing. I'll take both.
I think that both deserve some credit, and I think that you're doing a lot of growing, Moose. It's really, really evident, and it's really beautiful.
Thank you. I have to tell you, I just forgot. My favorite thing she said during those affirmations, if you will, this was the last thing she said, and I like tucked it into my soul. Into my Perineum. Heart chakra. She said, and we weren't, actually this wasn't during the music, it was as we were closing up. And she looked at me in the way that only you know the look from your therapist. It's the same look that your mom kind of gave you of like, you can do this, you know? Mm-hmm. If you had a good mom, maybe it was your dad, maybe it wasn't either, maybe it was somebody else. But anyway, she gave the look and she said, "I want you to find your trailhead every day and get on it."
Wow, that's so cool.
I know. And I'm like, you know, I love a freaking metaphor. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. And I love hiking, so I was like, oh, now you're just now you're tickling the geranium. I mean the perineum. I got geranium and perennial mixed up. You're tickling the... Okay, that's weird. I don't need my therapist tickling me.
Yeah.
My point is that I thought, oh, to stand at that trailhead, because I've hiked parts of the Appalachian Trail. I've, you know, like, I know the mindset you have to get into, especially if you're actually backpacking. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, like, yes, that's the trailhead. And, like, sometimes you just go do the work. And for me, I think that's going to mean physically going and getting on a trailhead too, so that I can spend that time going, okay, what's next? Whether that's healing or changes or whatever those things are, I got to go get on that trailhead.
Man, I love that. So getting on that trailhead, is that something when you visualize what that looks like in your mind's eye, is that something that you're doing alone or with people?
I'm doing it alone.
Man, that's beautiful.
It's so important because, and then there's no dogs. And those of you, like, I know you get that, Kat, yeah. But it's like, I freaking love my dogs and I take them everywhere. Mm-hmm. But this is like a journey, and I may add people and dogs in like a month. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it may become a place where it's like, okay, let me bring you to the sacred place. Mm. But I had a friend who actually did this for a year. She called it her forest year. And she would go to this forest in Oregon and she would walk for, I think, like hours. Hmm. And just like ask God or the universe or whatever it was of like, what's next? Or what am I doing here? Or like, give me clarity. And everyone thought she was crazy, but it was a time where she didn't have a lot of work and she was owning her own business and doing her own thing. So she was able to do it. And to this day, that was years ago, she swears by those years, you know? And it makes me think of Jesus.
So sweet. So sweet. I love that. It made me think of, and I don't remember the word for this, but I think the word was Japanese. But when we did that nature therapy thing, it made me think of the forest bathing.
It's so funny. That's what she said. She said to me, she said, don't forget those rules. No, she didn't say rules. She said, don't forget sort of that path we were on, the slow walking, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what she wanted me to focus on is like, you're not finishing the trail in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Like it's about the trail.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's not about where you're going. It's about the journey getting there. Like kind of that cliche.
Yeah.
Not that your journey is a cliche. I'm not saying that.
So to wrap up your story, I could say that in one phrase. The journey, it's not about the gold medal. It's about the 13 miles there.
Amazing.
By the way, I'm not doing a half marathon ever.
Oh, okay, good. Because I was hoping I wasn't going to be asked to do that with you.
I was going to actually ask you if you'd join Orange Theory with me.
Oh my God. It sounds like hell on earth to me.
It's Kat's worst nightmare is that she's going to have to go to Orange Theory.
Well, it's like I can't even pass a stress test at my cardiologist. It's not like I'm going to even be able to get up into the orange zone without falling over dead.
I need a workout place called like Gray Theory.
Yeah.
And it's just when you're almost dead and all you have to do is like get there and then you can have a cup of coffee and then you can go home.
That sounds absolutely amazing.
Kat, you know my dog is the pickiest eater ever.
Oh my gosh, I do know that. Like you could basically put like a slab of beef in front of him and he would just smell it and look at you.
And walk away, basically. And so I was so excited when I found Ollie dog food. Have you heard of this?
I've only heard about it from you. And I understand that it's the dog food that like both you and producer Sarah's dog love.
Yeah, it's basically wet dog food that you can mix in with your regular hard dog food. Hard? Dry dog food. And just mix your wet with your dry. And but it's like real food. And so it doesn't stink, which is my favorite thing. There's nothing worse than opening like a wet can of dog food and it stinks. This is real food.
Okay, so one of the things that I thought was really cool is that you were telling me that Ollie tailors your dog's food plan based on their weight, their age, their breed, their activity level, and their allergies. And then they deliver like the exact right proportion according to how many calories your dog needs, right? And then they ship it to you on a regular schedule so you always have the right amount. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's great. And honestly, it's the only thing these dogs eat. So I am so thankful for Ollie.
And do you basically like store your food packs in the freezer and then like thaw them in the fridge before it's time to eat?
Yeah, it's so easy. So if you've got like a freezer in the garage or ours fit right down into our fridge. Why the f*** do you care how I freeze them?
I think everybody cares. I think people actually really love knowing that.
So I store mine on the left back center area of my freezer. And then I simply get it out and I put a spoon right in it. And I always take one little before I give it to the dogs because it's real food.
So you eat some of it yourself?
No, I don't.
I was going to say, that is amazing. So for anybody else that wants to eat their dog's food so that they don't get the right proportion that is scientifically derived for your dog and not for you, check out the link for Ollie in our show notes and you can help us out while you're feeding your dog top quality food from Ollie.
Store in your freezer, thaw in your fridge.
Thanks Ollie. So a friend of mine told me about a book and that friend is producer Sarah. And then one of my therapists mentioned the same book to me. And so for Mother's Day, I drove to Alabama to spend the day with my mom and my sister and my sister's boys. And on the way there, I started listening to this book because we all know I don't read because I fall asleep when I read. Well, I do read some, but I just can't do it in large doses. And the book is called The Dance of Anger.
Oh, tell me about it.
Well, it's basically, it's by this this doctor, and I think she's a psychologist, and her name is Harriet Lerner. And her voice reminds me of Anne Dowd, the lady that plays Aunt Lydia on Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, wow. So is that creepy?
It would be creepy if she was saying things that weren't empowering, but there are things that are like really, really empowering. And forget what the tagline of the book is, but it's part of what made me want to read it. The Dance of Anger, A Woman's Guide to Changing the Patterns of Intimate Relationships.
Wow, a woman's guide.
Yes.
I love that it's females and anger.
Yes, yes.
Two of my favorite things.
Well, and one of the things that I loved about it, and I'm still only about halfway through it, so I haven't finished it, but one of the things that she talks about is how oftentimes, like societally, I think that's a word, in society, we are categorized as either nice ladies or mm-hmm. bitches.
Yeah.
And it is just really interesting, like the techniques and the things that we as women have learned over our lifetimes and through society and messaging and all of the things that we have learned. There are certain ways that we are and are not, quote unquote, supposed to express our anger. And then we have these things that we do when we have anger. We have these methodologies we've developed on how to suppress it. And then that turns into also a thing, like another behavior pattern. And what a fascinating book. And it's not one of those like, yo, feminist, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not like on a high horse of anything necessarily. And it just has been so enlightening to me about how important the emotion of anger is and how important it is that we learn how to express it better than we've known how to so far. So wanted to give a shout out to producer Sarah and also my therapist and other friends who have recommended this book because I am really enjoying it.
Let me ask you, do you have some anger that's coming up? I love that. It sounded really facetious, but like, are you noticing, was there a reason why you're like, this fits my life right now?
No, actually, no. It's just that it's come up in several different conversations. And
yeah.
It's something that when I was making that road trip the other day, I didn't want to listen. You know, I'm re-listening to Eastern Body, Western Mind. I'm listening to the Tao of Physics. I'm listening to, you know, a whole bunch of different books that have to do with things I'm studying and stuff like that. And none of it like felt right to me. Like none of it just felt like the thing I wanted to listen to. And I also just didn't want to listen to my favorite 6 Celine Dion songs driving down the road, because sometimes I do that and it really is a lovely experience. And so this book just popped in my mind and I was like, you know what? Like that sounds like an interesting yeah. topic. So I'm sure there are things in life I'm angry about right now, but there is not like a major anger issue that I'm trying to work through, at least not that I'm aware of yet.
Totally. Okay, speaking of books, I've got a couple in my queue that I'm listening to as well. Also not a big reader myself. There's a book by Daniel, I don't know if it's Amen or Amen, A-M-E-N, mm-hmm. Called Your Brain is Always Listening.
Mm.
And it's fascinating. Also like a psychology book. I'm rereading in quotations because I'm listening. Pema Chodron. I never know how to say her last name. She has a book called When Things Fall Apart. Mm-hmm. That if you are ever at a crossroads in your life, it's a good reminder. It's got a Buddhist leaning. Just in case that scares you. Ooh, scary. And then I'm reading Brandi Carlile's book, Broken Horses.
Ooh, amazing.
And her book is amazing. Like, I didn't realize where she came from.
And so is the book like, is it kind of like a memoir?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, very cool. I would enjoy reading that as well. Or you can give me the synopsis maybe.
Oh, speaking of, one more that I just started. It's called The Way of Integrity by Martha Beck.
Oh, I love Martha Beck.
I do too. And she's... She's talking right now. So hang on a second. It's called The Way of Integrity, Finding the Path to Your True Self.
That's awesome. Finding Your Own North Star is the book of hers that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
A lot. Is it similar to that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've listened to that first one, but she and Elizabeth Gilbert are like best friends. Mm. And Elizabeth did the foreword on that. So I'm excited to dive into that one as well.
Oh, that's awesome. We really like Martha Beck and your writing. So we hope you're a listener too.
And if not, sorry. Oh, by the way, two new things beyond books. Glennon Doyle has a brand new podcast called We Can Do Hard Things that is amazing and you should check out. Of course, it's amazing. And then Pink has a brand spanking new, as we speak, just came out, documentary.
Ooh.
That everyone needs to check out. And the name of that is All I Know So Far.
Cool. So, Moose, I still need some help with something.
I am here to help.
Thank you. I would really enjoy your insights here. So we talked a few podcasts ago about a challenge that my therapist gave me, and that was to consider developing kind of either a script or a criteria for making decisions so that my life does not look post-COVID like what my life looked like pre-COVID. And so I've been really wrestling with what are the questions or the criteria that I want to have in order to make decisions about how I'm spending my time. And these are decisions about anything from an event, like a work event, to, practicum session for school, to go into the grocery store. It's like anything where I need to evaluate my decisions differently than I did before. And so I was sharing with a friend of ours that one of the questions that seems like the first and utmost of importance question is the one that asks, is this thing that I'm going to do, is it important relationally? And I said, the thing is that I think everything is important relationally. Like, I think if we can just get in a room together and we can talk, or we can get in a room together and experience a thing together, that, like, relationally, I think most things are important. And so I went on and on and on about how I feel like that's my first question. And I feel like my first question is always going to be yes, because I'm all about relationships and all of that. And so as I was babbling on with her about this, she said to me, do you know what has occurred to me that I just find kind of funny? And I said, what's that? And she said, one of your questions isn't, do I want to do it?
I just choked. Hello. That is the pattern of it too.
Really?
You don't know what you want to do. What you want to do is to make other people happy.
Well,
but you forget about yourself and then you're resentful after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm not saying you, but that's the pattern. So, yes, that needs to be at the top of the list. Is this something I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just need to pick up the phone, tell me what it is, and I'll go, hell no, send Becky. Or I'll say, hell no, send Sarah, but don't send my ass.
So what you're telling me is I don't have to go to Momentum.
No, what I'm telling you is you have to start paying me to help make decisions for you.
Okay. That's amazing. I could really manipulate this, because it would mean that I get to talk to you every day.
Dude, I'm a great decision maker, and I have hurt some feelings lately, and I am sorry about it, but I can't go everywhere, and I don't really want to. I don't want to go everywhere. Mm-hmm. I like sitting around my fire in my backyard, mm-hmm, and watching fireflies and smiling at my dogs and all the things,
yeah,
right?
Me too.
And if these people who you work with, and I joke, I'm saying that like with a little bit of humor, but if these folks that you work with don't know that you're invested, then that's on them.
Totally.
You have invested time and heart and all the things. And so I get that maybe for the first date of a tour, those are important, mm-hmm, things that we have,
sure,
to do.
Yeah.
And but not always. And
that's what we did before COVID. Mm-hmm. So is that still needed? Have we put that own pressure on ourselves?
Right.
And FaceTime my ass in. I can tell you if the sound is good.
Totally. I think that for me, it's like, yeah, it's those kinds of decisions, and also other decisions about how I'm spending my time. And like, I get to choose. Like, one of the things that my bodywork therapist says all the time, almost every appointment, she says somewhere in there, and you get to choose, you know? And it's like, I get to choose in those choices.
Oh my God. That's your mantra.
That I get to choose.
That was your mantra last week.
Was it really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
All right, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, I need to have things apparently just on repeat, man.
And as soon as you said it, I was like, that was your mantra.
That's it. I get to choose. Thank you for remembering that. And one of the other things that I thought of that might be a good question to have in my like list of criteria, and I want to have 5 questions because I want there to be a tiebreaker. I want to have 3 yeses, 2 no's, and that means I do it. Or 3 no's, 2 yeses, that means I don't do it. So the third one that I was thinking of is, when I think of it, what does my body say?
That's really good.
I don't know if I'm aware enough of my body to really be able to answer that all the time, but it's something I'm thinking about. So what I'm asking help with or help for is what are some of the other criteria that I should consider?
Well, first of all, before you ask what is your body feeling, make sure you're not sitting on a crystal, because that could complicate or confuse your feelings.
Yes.
Let's see. I think you should ask, am I doing this for myself and my business, or am I doing this because I'm afraid I'm going to let somebody down? Mm. That isn't a yes or no question, but you can find a way to, you know, because I think, again, like, you are very concerned with how people view you. I think you should ask the question, is this worth my time? And just so you know, I often look at the budget and go, okay, regardless of whose money you're spending, yours or an artist's, I think you can simply go, like, this is going to cost $1,400 to somebody with my flight, my whatever, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. Is this worth my time of me being out of the office? Mm-hmm. Could I be doing more for that artist in the office? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are great ideas. I will consider both of those.
Which means you didn't like either of them.
No, I did. I wrote them both down, dadgummit. I wrote them both down. No, I like them. I like them both a lot. I just am trying to figure out, like, I'm almost getting to where it's like, I'm going to have a hard time narrowing it down to 5 questions.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make it so complicated that I just throw it out the window and life goes back to how it was. You know, like, I want to be super intentional.
I totally agree. You can't, like, you aren't allowed to book a flight until you answer these questions.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think another question is, and it kind of goes into, is it worth my time or money? But what am I there to accomplish? Mm. And, you know, I'm a doer. You're a feeler. You're also a doer. Don't hear me say that. But, like, I think it's interesting. Your first thing was, is it relational? It's what you said our friend brought up. Our anonymous friend that we keep calling our friend. But I don't think relational is good enough to say yes to. Like, that to me, you know, not that everything should be transactional, but, like, I'm not getting on a plane to Houston unless I need to get on a plane to Houston. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so if I can do that same thing on the phone or on, you know, on Zoom or whatever it is, then that's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word. I really like that. And something else that I've been thinking of is a piece of advice that one of my instructors gave me, and then one of my student colleagues who I worked with last week came in my door, and the almost very first thing she said to me was, she goes, I feel like I'm supposed to remind you of something that Amanda taught us. And I said, okay. I said, what is it? And she said, do not be emotionally tied to the results.
Come on.
So it's like if you go in and you give somebody a full body 90 minute Swedish massage and they leave and they come back to you or they don't come back to you and say, after that massage, I got a headache. Like, you don't need to be emotionally attached to that because that's that person and their body and their environment. Like, all you've done is hold space and supported their body doing what it needs to do, you know? And oftentimes, you know, in our jobs and in, you know, the things we're studying and stuff like that, a lot of times we tend to go like, okay, the outcome had something to do with me. And maybe it does or does not, but to not be emotionally tied to the outcome having to do with my performance, I don't know. I felt really, really kind of strengthened by that.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's important in any kind of exercise, even be outside of business, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, there's a difference between running a race in order to get a medal and a difference between I finished. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. and it's still a feeling of accomplishment, you know, but to feel sad. I'm just using this as an example that you didn't make the top three because you ran a 5K is kind of missing the point, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Back to the journey. What was that? What was that trite little cliche that you brought up again? It's not the end. It's the journey or some BS.
It's not the destination. It's the journey or something like that.
Yeah. There you have it. We should have just said that and closed our mics.
No.
I'm teasing. Hey patrons, listen up. We want to know if there's any topics or current events or anything that you want to hear us discuss. We talk a lot about what's going on in our lives, and that's why it makes sense. But we want to hear from you guys. Is there anything that you're like, would love to see you guys tackle this topic? One of the things I want to do, I'm going to whisper it only to you guys, is I want to do hypnosis, Kat.
Together?
Yeah. Like, maybe two different sessions, but like be a part of it.
Like Kat and Moose get hypnotized?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in.
Okay. Because I was doing all this research on different schools and just reading all these stories about how being hypnotized like can really have breakthrough.
I did one hypnosis session with my therapist relatively early on in our relationship, and it was really, really amazing. Like I thought of this memory that I didn't even know I still had access to in my mind, and it really set the stage for me having a different perspective and understanding of kind of why I am the way I am, why I think the way I do, because of, you know, part of my, you know, my parents and my upbringing and my sister and just life circumstances and stuff like that. And it was a really, really neat experience. So I would be really excited and open to doing that together.
I secretly hope that like another personality pops out of me and is like, okay, let me tell you what she's dealing with. Like, it's kind of like Drunk Moose, you know, where it's like, okay, like this is what's wrong. It's what she needs to do. And like, I want to record that and then just listen to it and be like, oh, all my problems have been answered by my other personality.
I love that your other personality seems to be a valley girl.
Well, she's not a valley girl. She just drank a lot down on Broadway at the honky tonks. And she wears a jean skirt and cowboy boots.
Wow. Is this like one of your internal family systems people?
I think so.
Because it sounds a little bit like Kathy to me. she doesn't maybe go to Broadway and get drunk. Maybe but Kathy, she does wear a skirt.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's the Moose in her 20s. I think that's who it is.
Mm, nice. Nice.
And apparently she knows like this.
Well, I think that needs to happen. How do we make it happen?
I don't know, but we'll do it. We love you.
We love you.
And we are thankful.
We appreciate you. Special thanks to our producer, Sarah Reed. To find out more, go to catandmoosepodcast.com. Cat and Moose is a BP production.